God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the early 1960s, a play was performed on Broadway entitled A Man for All Seasons. It was so popular that it was made into a movie in 1966. That story focuses on the life of Sir Thomas More, an English nobleman who served the court during the reign of King Henry VIII. More is called a man for all seasons because he stands as an example of one who holds true to his beliefs, even in the face of death, an attitude which is right and proper for every season of life. More was a highly respected man by the court and the people as a statesman and a loyal churchman. He served as England's High Chancellor for a period of time, but his loyalty to the Roman Catholic Church and what he believed God commanded regarding marriage eventually cost him his life. He refused to support King Henry's divorce from Catherine of Aragon and to swear to the oath of supremacy, making Henry the supreme head of the church in England. His conscience would not allow him to let any man, even a king, come before God's word. He feared and respected God more than man, and he loved God even more than his own life. There's a quote from the play which sums up More's attitude in the face of the demands of the court. He's speaking with his daughter just before his execution, and he says, "When a man takes an oath, Meg, he's holding his own self in his hands like water. And if he opens his fingers, then he needn't hope to find himself again." More was truly a man for all seasons. And his conviction, courage, and commitment to his word is something we all need to see and strive to live up to. It's something which we need to have at all times, in all seasons. And unfortunately, it's something that our society seems to have lost to a large degree. Oaths and vows and honoring your word seem to mean little to people anymore. We see it in many ways today. Some who've sworn to execute the law refuse to hold violent criminals accountable, releasing them back into society, and they often end up committing crimes and bringing harm to others again. In Canada, doctors still subscribe to the Hippocratic Oath, a portion of which says, "Above all, I must not play at God." But in 2016, Canada made medical assistance in dying legal. This is simply another way of saying euthanasia. Among other things, one who's eligible for MAID is to be experiencing unbearable physical or mental suffering that cannot be relieved under conditions that you consider acceptable. If you believe your suffering is unacceptable, you can request MAID. And since then, tens of thousands of people have done so. They've been assisted by doctors and nurse practitioners to commit suicide. And if this isn't playing at God, I don't know what is. Sadly, Canada is also one of the largest. They have some of the highest rates of organ donation and organ transplantation because of people who are committing suicide. The motto of the state of Missouri. Who knows what the motto of the state of Missouri is? The Show Me State. When I lived in St. Louis, could you go to the next slide? There we go. Got to get that up there. Show Me State. When I lived in St. Louis, we used to joke that what was meant by this was show me how to drive. But, of course, that phrase comes from the notion that Missourians are noted for their skepticism. Prove it to me, they say. In a sense, that's become the motto of everybody in America. People don't honor their word, so there's very little trust left. If you want me to trust you, you have to prove that you can be trusted first. And you can hardly blame people. Everywhere you look, there are people who readily break their promises. Shoddy workmanship seems to be the rule among most products you buy. It's as if the attitude of the manufacturer is, don't build anything that will last. I think that's called planned obsolescence. One time we bought a little fishing pole for my boys, and when we got home, we looked at the limited warranty printed on the package and we had to laugh. It was warrantied for 48 hours after time of purchase. But this attitude isn't only seen in the business world. There are those who say that one of the greatest reasons that we're a country which has become so cautious and skeptical is because of something that happened in the late 1960s. Watergate. Watergate showed us that even the man who holds the highest office in the land, the man who is the leader of the most powerful country on earth with whom we entrust the safety of our nation, that this man is also capable of breaking his oath of office and betraying the confidence of the people he'd sworn to serve. So what does all that have to do with Trinity Sunday and our sermon? Well, I would suggest that not only have we lost our confidence and faith in our human leaders, but we also tend to translate this attitude of skepticism and doubt upon our God himself. And yet all of Scripture is a tribute and a record of God's faithfulness, his steadfast love, his boundless mercy to us. Our God truly is a God for all seasons of life, but he's also, better yet, a God for all reasons. He's a God who can be relied upon to carry out his promises, a God who can and will be with us no matter what our situation or circumstance. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess the triune God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit. We confess and believe this because God's word reveals it. In our Old Testament reading this morning, we heard how God, by his powerful word, created the earth and the sky and the stars and the planets and the animals and the plants. And of course, he created us too. The psalm says it right when he says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves." Our God is the God who sees the flower bloom on the top of the highest mountain and rejoices in its beauty. He sees the baby formed in the mother's womb and loves it as his own creation. He is ever and always involved in his creation as his word goes forth and holds the universe together and causes it to praise him from whom it derives life. And not only has he created us, but he promises to care for us. He gives us a warm fire when we come in from the cold and a cool drink when we're parched by the sun. He gives us, purely out of his divine love and mercy, the food that we eat, the water that we drink, the air that we breathe, everything we need to sustain our body and life. God is being faithful to his word when he does this. He's promised to watch over us, to care for us. And he has claimed us as his very own. And we believe in Jesus, our Savior, because God has given us the gift of faith. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." At the beginning of Genesis, when man had first plunged into sin and separated himself from God, God promised to send the one who would restore that broken relationship. And through Abraham, through the line of David, he fulfilled that promise when the angels told those shepherds, "Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you." In Christ, God broke into our world in order to save us. As we live and act in this world, it becomes obvious that we're out of step with God's will. Corporately, we destroy that which God has given us through hatred, war, and violence. Individually, we hurt one another because of greed and our desires, which drive us to do things of which even we are ashamed. But Jesus comes to us and he says, turn to me and be saved. Admit your sin and I will forgive. In Romans chapter 5, Paul says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Word made flesh, fulfilled his promises when he died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead to give us that life that will last forever. And he gives us the ability to believe this so that we might be able to trust in him and listen to his will for our lives. But it doesn't end there. He promises even more. He doesn't leave us on our own to live out our faith by our own strength. Rather, he sends his Holy Spirit who calls us by the gospel, enlightens us with his gifts, and keeps us in the true faith. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, speaking to us the Father's will. And as we face problems or decisions or concerns, the Holy Spirit promises to be there to help us and to show us God's desire for our lives. Jesus says in the gospel lesson, all that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. As our comforter, as our counselor, the Lord, the Spirit reveals God's will and gives us the power to both desire his will and to live in his will. Our God truly is a God for all reasons. He's a God in whom we can place our trust and confidence. And he has fulfilled his promises, and he continues to fulfill them. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Our God is worthy of our trust. A God for all our needs, and he always will be, for he will always be faithful to his word and promises, even if we are not. Amen.